In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Early last week, we experienced the tragedy of a major fire in one of the great churches of Christendom, Notre Dame de Paris. Let me tell you, it made me a little hesitant when I lit the Easter fire last night. Joking aside, and why do we joke around at times like this? Because it's one of the ways we as human beings deal with tragedy. And that is the only way to talk about what happened at Notre Dame. It was terrible to see the column of smoke and the fires on the roof, and eventually destroying the spire and the whole roof ablaze. It looked for a while like everything was lost. And in fact, the fire department of Paris stated that they didn't know whether they would be able to save the building or not. And yet, over time, we found out that medieval stonemasons are a lot smarter than we give them credit for being, because the stone vaults in the interior of the church protected it from the fire that was raging on the roof. We found out that the rose windows had survived, so had the great organ, and the relics and the art had been rescued. We now know that it will be rebuilt, and it is very edifying to see all of the people opening their wallets to donate to the rebuilding of this great expression of faith. Now, there was an incredibly stupid thing in the New York Times recently that said, did you know Notre Dame is also a religious site in addition to being a tourist attraction? No blank, Sherlock. You know, one of the wonderful things, and it's kind of odd that we can say that, one of the wonderful things that whenever a tragedy like this occurs, whether it be an act of terrorism like 9/11, or a human tragedy, you know, like a building like Notre Dame catching on fire, or even a natural disaster, one of the wonderful things is the stories of bravery and heroism that you hear. In this case, we had a priest who was the chaplain of the Paris Fire Brigades, and he led a human chain that rescued not only the great artworks, but more importantly, the great relics, such as the Crown of Thorns. Also, we hear and experience people's generosity throughout the world, and not just Christians, but people of other faiths contributing to the rebuilding of this church. God is always present, even when things seem the darkest. And God will not be thwarted. Think back thousands of years ago when our first parents disobeyed God. When they listened to the serpent and Adam and Eve fell from grace. Everything seemed to be destroyed. I tell you this day, you will die. And they were expelled from the garden. And yet even as the Lord himself pronounced sentence upon them, there was a glimmer of redemption, of the prophecy of the heel that would crush the head of the serpent. Think about when Abraham was told to take his only son, Isaac, to the top of Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. Seemed to Abraham that all of his hopes, all of the promises that God had made him had come to naught. And yet, when he got to the top of the hill and was prepared to fulfill God's will, his hand was stayed, and God made of him a great nation. What's even more interesting is on that very mountain, Mount Moriah, hundreds of years later, God's own son was sacrificed, and God did not spare him, because his death was necessary for your salvation and for mine. Children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt under the rod of harsh taskmasters. And yet God heard their prayer and sent Moses, visited 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, and they let God's people go. And God brought them dry shod through the sea to the very mountain of God, where he made a covenant with them. And then he took them into the promised land. From this people, God brought forth in the fullness of time our Savior. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ came among us. He worked mighty signs and spoke words from the mouth of God himself. He entered into Jerusalem as a king, and then he was betrayed. He was taken to Mount Moriah, and he was crucified. He died, and he was placed in the tomb. The stone was rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb, and a guard was placed. It seemed that everything was destroyed. And yet, this was all according to the plan of God. For when Jesus died upon the cross, he defeated the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when he rose from the dead, he defeated death itself. The tomb is empty, my brothers and sisters. And because of this, it is possible for us to turn from sin, to walk with God in this world, and walk with him into life everlasting in heaven. This morning we had more tragic news. Our brothers and sisters in the faith in Sri Lanka were subject to terrorist attacks. 3 churches, 3 hotels, hundreds of Christians dead. The blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the faith. And whatever their motive, the terrorists will not win. In our lives, we will experience many days of darkness, of tragedy, of disaster, and of evil. And yet, in all of these things, God never abandons us. He's always there with us. Now, this has been a tough year for us as believers, not because of persecution from the outside, but because of what members and people who should know better within the church have done. And yet, the gospel is still proclaimed throughout the world. And it is still lived by simple Christians everywhere. Evil will not prevail. Why? Because the tomb is empty. You may have heard a word, spoiler. What's a spoiler? It's when there's a movie with a surprise ending or a twist ending, or you don't know how it is going to come out, and if someone tells you how it's going to end, that's a spoiler. Don't do that with movies. It's a bad thing. And I'm going to give you the greatest spoiler of all. God wins. God always wins. Christ is risen. God has triumphed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.